Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Fellowship Worldwide call presented by Fellowship Communication Committee. My name is here for this 90-minute Fellowship-wide call focused on pressure relief groups. Will someone, Paul, would you mind pressing star 6 to unmute yourself to let me know if you can hear me?
Hi, Alexia. Yes, it's Paul, and I can hear you.
Bless you, Paul. Thank you. Will everyone please join me with the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
To accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Many of us come into DA with inhibition and embarrassment about our finances. The tool of a pressure relief group, otherwise known as a PRG, helps us move out of isolation into fellowship, discussing earning, spending, and other pressures. A PRG consists of ourselves and two other recovering debtors who have not incurred unsecured debt for at least 90 days and who usually have more experience in the program. The group meets in a series of pressure relief meetings to review our financial situation. These meetings typically result in the formulation of a spending plan and an action plan. Please give me 1 second. I am going to turn off the chimes. Unless somebody knows how to do that and can let me know.
I think it's star 8.
Thank you so much. Today, a panel of 3 speakers, Paul, Shauna, and Nico, will share their experience, strength, and hope for 15 minutes each on giving and receiving PRG. At the end of their shares, we will open the call to sharing and time permitting Q&A. Is there someone who would like to act as our timer today? Please press star 6 to unmute yourself. Is there anyone who would like to be of service by timing our speakers today?
This is Pauline. I can do that.
Thank you, Pauline. Please remember to press star 6 so we can hear you, and also star 6 to mute yourself. And we'll ask each speaker how they would like to have their time. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers consent by their participation to having the recording uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcast. Our first speaker today is Paul. Paul, please press star 6 to unmute yourself and let us know how you would like your time.
Hi, my name is Paul. I'm a recovering compulsive debtor. And let's see, how about give me a warning at 5 minutes and 1 minute?
Okay, I got that. It's Pauline.
Okay, hi, Pauline. Thank you.
And how
so,
long
Alexia,
for?
15 minutes.
Okay.
So, Alexia, are we ready to start with my talk now?
We sure are, Paul. Thank you so much for being of service today.
Okay. Again, I'm Paul. I'm a compulsive debtor. I live in Carmichael, California, which is just northeast of Sacramento. I've been here since 1978. Before that, I grew up in Connecticut, went to college in the Boston area. So I have some bi-coastal roots, I guess I would say. I've been in, I'll say, back in the program of Debtors Anonymous for 12 years now, a little bit over 12 years. And I say back in because prior to that I was in the program for 3.5 years in the early to mid-90s and left for 10 years, and now I'm back. And my advice, or my, I guess, my experience, strength, and hope is don't leave once you get in. And I'm the intergroup service rep for the Sacramento Intergroup. I've been to the World Service Conference 3 times, and I'm heading back for a 4th time next summer. And I have found that experience to be amazing if you're thinking about doing it. Okay, so I went to some source documents for my talk. One is the pamphlet, the Debtors Anonymous pamphlet called Pressure Relief Groups and Pressure Relief Meetings. And that is conference approved literature. And the other source that I went to is the, this is kind of a minor source for this topic, but the Debtors Anonymous Manual for Service, 2018 edition. There's a section in there called A Guide to Special Events, and under Event Suggestions, there is one called Pressure Relief Meeting Workshop. So if you're thinking about doing that, in your local area, there's a kind of a guide for that in the Debtors Anonymous Manual for Service. Okay, so the first thing, the first piece of this that I want to talk about, I've titled Pressure Relief Group Protocol. And by protocol, in this case, what I mean is etiquette and preference. And I've been involved in a lot of pressure relief meetings, both for myself and for others. I just was involved with giving one for a fellow DA member with another fellow DA member on Tuesday evening after our Tuesday Progress Not Perfection meeting here in Sacramento. So the first thing that I want to talk about is asking for help, and asking for help directly. There's a piece, there's a little title, subtitle in the pamphlet that says, how do we get a PRG? And I sometimes hear people in meetings saying things like, I really need a PRG. Can you come and talk to me after the meeting? And while that may be, that is one approach, and it may be effective sometimes, I have found that, and it talks about this in the pamphlet actually, I have found that it's much better to go to some meetings, look around, figure out who you think might make a good pressure relief group for you, and ask them directly. Walk up to them after the meeting or before the meeting and just ask them. And the other thing, so what happens for a lot of people sometimes is people think, especially when they're new in Debtors Anonymous, and especially if they have no other 12-step group, recovery group experience, people think, why would anyone do this for me? And what you find out, and what those of us who have been around for a while, and those of us who have learned the value of service in recovery, the reason people do this for you is because they have learned and they know that it helps them probably at least as much or sometimes more than it helps you. So people do this kind of service because it's part of their own recovery, and they know that they need to do that and give back to hold on to their own recovery. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is the gender of the PRG group members. In the pamphlet, it talks about asking a man and a woman, and it also says that sometimes you can't find somebody, or you can't find, one person of each gender, and rather than delay your recovery, it's okay to go ahead with, two men or two women. And the reason I talk about this is because I have found, and I actually tell people who ask me, that I really would prefer that their pressure relief group includes a man and a woman, one of each gender. And I just find that it brings balance and it brings that different point of view. And I find that some people, one person recently who proposed a PRG group of two men, asking me to be one of two men, and I said, well, I really would prefer that that you find a woman as well, and I'll do your PRG if you can find a woman to pair up with me. And I asked him at that point, why did you, and this was a man who was putting this together, and I asked him, why have you picked two men? And he said, well, it's just more comfortable for me. And I said, well, that's why I really would suggest that you find a man and a woman, and which he did, and we had the PRG, and it worked out great. But, some of this recovery work gets us way outside of our comfort zone. And so to pick your PRG members because you're comfortable with them, for me, is not, it's not a good, it, you know, yes, it needs to be people that you know and people that you think will be good for you on your PRG, but you might get a little bit uncomfortable just asking them. So that's just part of the process. Okay, so I want to move on to the person who is having the pressure relief meeting. There's a sentence in the pamphlet that I'm going to read here, and it's, I think, very pertinent. It is the job of the person having the pressure relief meeting to arrange the time and place for it. And so if it's your pressure relief meeting, again, you're responsible for the particulars. You're responsible for finding the two persons to give the PRG. You're responsible for finding a place. And you're responsible for setting up the time. And, it's just kind of a reminder, but it is the job of the person who's having the meeting to arrange and set up all these details. And so I want to talk about location. And the pamphlet talks about that the best location for these, and this has been my experience too, the best location for pressure relief groups is kind of accessory rooms or places within the church or whatever place where your meeting is held. There are usually, rooms, or sometimes you can even have the PRG in the room where the meeting is held after everybody leaves. In the case of our Tuesday night meeting, we have a room down the hall that's kind of a library room, and we do PRGs in there quite a bit. And the pamphlet also talks about having a pressure relief meetings in a member's home. And what I have found is that, and while you can do that if everybody's comfortable with it, what I have found, and it talks about this in the pamphlet, that people can get distracted by their, either A, their role as host, or B, their role as guest. And to me, that's a very real kind of social dynamic that happens, and I have found it just so much better to have pressure relief meetings at a neutral location, either where the DA meeting takes place, or I've done a lot of them in public places, and the coffee shops, cafeterias, whatever. The pamphlet warns against that, in that some people might not feel like they have enough privacy there. But if you've been in recovery for a while and you're not too concerned about that, you can usually find a table off in a corner somewhere to have your PRG, and nobody's listening anyway, so except the two people that you're doing it with. But the main thing I wanted to talk about there was the having it actually in somebody's house.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And so next thing I want to talk about is a note taker. When I get together to do a PRG, I often volunteer. If I'm one of the givers, I often volunteer to be the note taker. And this is important. Somebody should, one of the two givers should, in my experience, be the note taker, because you, the person who's receiving the PRG doesn't want to be distracted by having to take notes and remember things that are talked about. So I always take a pad of paper and I write down four things on my sheet that are headings for me to take notes under. The first one is feelings. The second one is objectives, which means, you know, what do you want to accomplish during this PRG? The third one is actions, which is the action plan, action list. And the fourth one is information. And so sometimes there's information that comes up during the PRG that you just want to write it down, and it doesn't fall into the other categories. Next topic for me is duration. How long should a PRG be? The pamphlet talks about allowing 2 hours, and that can work, especially at the beginning. I've also found that once you're experienced and you are familiar with your group, sometimes it's good to set the time frame for an hour because people are sometimes more willing to commit to an hour rather than an hour and a half or 2 hours. Once the PRG gets started, I try to be aware of participation by both of the PRG givers, and it's easy for one or the other to start to dominate, either because they know the person better or something, but it's always good to keep that in mind and make sure both PRG givers are participating. And of course, and I have this last on my list of protocol and etiquette, but it really is first in many ways, and that is begin and end with a prayer. Often we use the Serenity Prayer. This invites God into the room. This is, I love the topic of this conference-wide call, building support, the magic of PRGs, the magic of pressure relief groups. For me, the magic comes in when our higher power is the is also present in the pressure relief meeting, and unexpected things often happen because of that. Unexpected and positive and incredible things happen because we allow our higher power in with us. Okay. My last piece of this is, what have I learned about PRGs? And one thing is, we often use that acronym, PRGs, and I have found that in meetings, if you're a newcomer, I look around the meeting sometimes, and if people are using PRG, a newcomer has no idea what you're talking about. So if it's always good to be conscious if there are newcomers in the meeting. Sometimes say it out, at least the first time you use it, you know, talk about pressure relief group, and then you could say that we sometimes use an acronym, because newcomers do get confused by that, and it just helps if they know what you're talking about. I want to talk about couples involved in a relationship and PRGs. I am married, have been for a long time. My wife is not a debtor. She handled her money perfectly fine until and even after we met, but I'm the one who was responsible for our family financial difficulties and debting. So while she has participated in PRGs with me, and the pamphlet talks and the pamphlet suggests that we involve our partners in relationship, that really didn't work for my wife and I, and there's a number of reasons for that, and there's not time to really go into it now, but just be aware, if you are in relationship, think about involving your partner. Sometimes it's a good thing to do, and sometimes it's not, and so you just have to think it through and think about all the how that's going to work. How do we feel walking into our first pressure relief meeting? There's a great piece in the pamphlet about this, and the paragraphs that come after that heading are, for me, there's a piece in there about how the way our society has reserved a special scorn for people who have problems with money, or so it seems. Thanks, or so it seems in the mind of the compulsive debtor, and that for me is so important, and really speaks to why we have pressure relief groups, why we have to ask for help, and why we why DA still is such a very teeny tiny program. The last thing I want to say is there's an action plan that often comes out of a pressure relief group, or usually, or really always comes out of a pressure relief group meeting. And it's, if you are the receiver of that pressure relief group, take it seriously and set about doing those actions. And one of the things I've really found helpful is put something, help that person who you're giving the PRG for learn how to take care of themselves by putting something fun for them on their action plan list. Thank you. My name is Paul, and I am a compulsive debtor.
Paul, thank you very much for sharing with us today. Our next speaker, Shauna, will share her experience, strengths, and hope with giving and receiving PRGs. Shauna, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Alexia.
Shauna,
hi everybody.
Shauna, before you begin,
how
would you like your time?
Why don't we say 10 and 3? That would be great. Thank you. Okay. Hi, everyone. My name – oh, we'll start. I'll try again. Thanks, Alexia. So, hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and I am a recovering compulsive debtor and compulsive spender. Thank you so much, Alexia, for asking me to share, and welcome to all of you, especially any newcomers that are listening today. As they say, you know, we get help from working this program, and from my experience, DA has completely changed my life. And so thank you, Paul, for speaking today and giving us the nuts and bolts. I think that is so incredibly helpful. And I think what I would like to do today is to give you my experience, strength, and hope, and sort of demystify the process of anybody that's having their first PRG from my experience of doing it and then also in giving a PRG. And I love the flyer today that it was about, you know, the speakers today, that we could share our experience, strength, and hope on how we moved from inhibition and embarrassment in thinking and action around money to receiving the 12 promises of DA. So I'm going to kind of go with that format a little bit. To qualify, I came into the program in 2010. That was spring 2010. You know, at that time, I was working as an independent contractor. I had intense fear around money. I was living very hand-to-mouth. I was working for a boss at the time that I think was kind of a bully. I felt very isolated in many ways in terms of thinking I was the only one that was having these kind of pressures, you know, I was in my 30s, and I thought I should be at a much better place by the time I'd gotten there. And, you know, I lived with a mostly empty refrigerator. You know, I like to describe it as my sort of bachelor existence. I thought of myself as very much a kind of free spirit. So even though there are many, many things that were going well in my life, the money thing was always a sort of terrible guilty secret that I hadn't figured things out. I had a lot of jealousy and envy around friends of mine that had big trust funds or big jobs. I thought that they'd had it all figured out. A lot of regret and self-pity about things I had done in the past around work and earning that would sort of sabotage my efforts. I lived in denial, and you know, I would try to solve my problems with geographics, in my personal relationships. You know, I kind of lived on the 1-year plan, even though I'd been married before. I'd gone through a significant 401k. I'd used all my savings. I shopped compulsively, thinking that whatever I maybe wore might solve my problems. And as they say, the confusion and chaos around money, for me, that also included moving a lot, changing my phone number a lot, not really being available. So I had shared in another program something to this effect, some piece of this, and someone came up to me after and said, hey, you know, there's this program called DA, and they do this thing in there called pressure relief groups, and it's a man and a woman sit down with you, and they look at help you figure things out. And so I thought, you're kidding me. It just didn't even seem possible, something like that. And it was so strange and unusual that I was willing to give it a try. So I came into VA in 2010, like I said, and I got my first PRG quickly thereafter in June 2010. So the first thing I want to say is, the Green Book is terrific. The Green Book is called the Pressure, or sorry, it's Blue. It's the Pressure Relief Meeting Book, and it is a terrific format to preparing for your first PRG. So I did what it says in there. Part of that is reading from the 12 and 12 in AA, and reading page 75 in the Big Book, and also doing your numbers. So I went in with numbers, and as I've just shared, the first part of the PRG process for me is when we go to our meetings as newcomers, having all of these, you know, for me, I would equate a lot of this with shame, you know, allowing myself to be seen. I was just terrified at people, strangers to me, looking at my numbers. So what I wrote down for myself around my first PRG was, number one, willingness. So I've got to have the willingness to do something differently. You know, the good thing about any of you that are at a bottom, you know, it's helpful because as step one tells us that, you know, I'm powerless over my debting, I'm powerless over what's happened here.
10 minutes?
It's 10 minutes?
Yes.
Thank you. So that willingness allows me to go in and prepare my numbers and ask for help. So that, you know, for that first meeting, so much of what I got out of that was being able to share these numbers. You know, it's great to have these formats so that we know what we're kind of in for, because in that meeting, you know, I found my original PRG, and they were, you know, really simple things. Like, I found my list. I wanted to read a few of these for this podcast and for this meeting today. There's 10 jobs I could see myself doing for the next 10 years, where I consider myself going. My PRG group asked me to consider going to the vision retreat, which I did. They asked me to make an ongoing list of all of my accomplishments since childhood and send it to my action group within 10 minutes. They gave me an affirmation that said, I deserve the very best in life, and now lovingly allow myself to accept it. And they asked me to use that for 30 days. They asked me to ask my higher power, how could I best be of service to myself and others to make God my employer? And so I read those just to give some examples of, you know, the numbers matter a lot. What I was also asked to do were things like set up accounts so that I was working, as I said, as a, you know, private contractor. So being able to pay my taxes on time, I was constantly struggling in the beginning at getting my taxes paid because I didn't have my estimated taxes going. I didn't have a separate account. So I learned how to do that from my PRG. So over the years, for me, being in DA, I started sponsoring. I had my own sponsees, and I was asked to give PRGs. And for me, the first part of that is being of service. So the second really big thing in giving a PRG is being able to listen. You know, as I said to you, like so much of my life, I was trying to figure things out all by myself. I wasn't able, you know, based on many, many things, which we can't get into now, but being able to listen to others and to share this is teamwork. So even though the man and the woman are, quote, giving the PRG, there's a sort of magic for me that happens both in giving and receiving of allowing higher power to sort of work through all of us. So, you know, in my experience in giving the PRGs, I've given at least 10 or 12 PRGs this year, and there's a lot of follow-up from that from people is, you know, working as a team with the other person. I have found that, you know, my experience in working with many different men who are, I'm a woman, so I'm the woman in the PRG, that there's a huge range of how people show up in PRGs. And so part of my process in working my program is really learning to be seen, to use my voice, to know when to be heard, and also knowing when to listen. So there's a lot of sort of interesting dynamics that go on in PRGs that I just want to encourage people to be open to, as you're doing your step work in our program, that we get to kind of work through character defects, believe it or not, in these PRGs. You know, I have to learn that everything that I think isn't necessarily going to be listened to also. So this is also take what you like and leave the rest. You know, we give suggestions in PRGs. So, and through that comes an action list. And from my experience, I often like for the person receiving the PRG to create their own action list. They write down a list of actions that they're going to consider taking as the result of that PRG. And, you know, we also can create a spending plan, which a lot of people think of that as a budget. And from my experience, it is learning that we get the things that we need, and it's not necessarily just getting our debts paid off. So that spending plan really helps us to focus on maybe where I'm not treating myself as well as I could be. So, for example, when I do my numbers in preparation for a PRG, or when I look at someone's numbers when I'm giving a PRG, we're starting to look at patterns. It's not the bigness of the numbers or the smallness of the numbers. We're looking at how is this person or how am I treating myself? Am I earning the money that I deserve? Am I buying myself the things that I need? Is my refrigerator stocked? You know, my refrigerator is so full now. My bank account is full. I have a prudent reserve today. You know, my experience is that, you know, I had a PRG myself a couple of months ago, and none of the actions were the same in terms of the earning. I'm in a very different place now than I was when I came into the program. I became fully solvent in 2013. I have no debt, and I've got a nice 401k. So all those things I was able to rebuild as a result of the program. But what I'm reminded of is similar to my first PRG, which is my self-confidence, my esteem, as I'm working on new things that are hard for me, that are often contrary actions that come as a result of these action lists. That's the place where the prayer really is so vital. I love that we say the Serenity Prayer at the beginning and the end of the PRG, but it's also bringing God into what comes out of that PRG. So that enables me to follow up with my PRG people, for me to follow up with people that I've given PRGs to, that I am consistent in my actions today, where, as I've described to you, when I started in this program, I never had the same phone number, I never had the same email. I've lived in the same place now since I started my program, and now it's more about the vision getting bigger, you know, starting to look for a new place to live, not because I have to leave my place, but because I want to, I've chosen to. I'm in a relationship today that I've been in for 8 years. I believe that's a lot the result of this program and being able to learn consistency through taking contrary action. There's nothing more beautiful to me than sitting in a PRG and there's that moment that you feel higher power entered the room. And I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen so many times that the person receiving the PRG will get that visible relief. And I just want to say to you, any of you that have struggled in your PRGs, I've heard people that have talked about having PRGs that weren't good for them, that it was hard, they didn't want to hear what the actions were, it didn't work for them for whatever reason. And I just want to say I just recently worked with someone. She'd had a couple of PRGs in a row that were really tough for her for whatever reason. And she kept coming back, though. She tried again. And there was a moment in that PRG when she looked at us and she was beaming, like, oh, my gosh, I totally get this. I understand what this is about. And I really believe that, you know, sometimes we'll get the list of actions in the PRG. The magic comes later. The magic can often come later when we start doing the actions that we're given and we come to see a new experience of ourselves. So I love the 12 promises of Debtors Anonymous, you know, that starts where once we felt despair, we will experience a newfound hope. And it ends by saying on the 12th promise is we will recognize a power greater than ourselves as the source of our abundance. We will ask for help and guidance and have faith that they will come. And so I just can't say enough about the PRGs, about what I've gotten out of them and what I continue to get. And I just want to thank all of you for allowing me to speak today. Keep coming back, and I will do the same. And thank you so much to our GSR and for the service that everyone on the GSR does in making these meetings happen. And thank you so much for letting me be of service. My name is Shauna, and I'm a debtor.
Thank you so much, Shauna. We now have Nico, who will share his experience, strength, and hope for 15 minutes on giving and receiving PRGs. Nico, are you out there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Paul, would you like to tell Pauline how you would like your time?
You bet. Pauline, 10 and 3.
Okay.
Take it away, Nico.
Okay. First of all, yes, my name is Nico. I am definitely a debtor. And, you know, I have, when I first came into program in 1995, I was an under-earner. And I have since then changed forms. It's, you know, you want to talk about cunning, baffling, and powerful. This disease for me has been chimeric, or chimeric, however you're supposed to pronounce that. But, yeah, you know, I've been an under-earner. I've been an inheritance survivor. I have been a workaholic. I have been a deprivation addict. And, you know, I am not one of those things, but I feel that there are parts of all of those things that inform my debting. And I feel as such that when I give a PRG, that I can be a better help than someone who has not struggled as much as I have. And just know that I've, you know, been around 12-step work for 30 plus years, and as recently as three years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, I actually was homeless for 8 months. And, you know, throughout everything, I have not found it necessary to ingest anything that's going to, you know, alter my mood. I have kept coming back. Now, that said, I remember I used to go to a Tuesday night meeting in Santa Monica, and I found out about Debtors Anonymous through a fellow in the beverage program who suggested I check it out. I was flabbergasted that such a thing even existed. I got in, and there was a really great meeting, and for all I know, it still is going on Tuesday nights in Santa Monica, and I paid attention. I showed up as much as I could, and I wasn't very willing at first, I have to admit. I didn't know the breadth and scope of the disease, and as such, I probably stayed a little bit sicker, a little bit longer than a lot of people who were far more desperate than I was at first. But luckily, I stuck around long enough to really catch the gift, to receive the gift of desperation, and began to work. And I had PRGs with the same two people every couple of months, and it became clear that I was not making enough money, and I knew I was not making enough money. I just didn't know there was a name for it, and I didn't know that there were other people like me. And that was one of the first things I really appreciated about finding DA, was finding out that there were other people like me, and that the man who was my sponsor, who was also one half of my PRG giving, had a similar background to mine in many ways. The woman who was part of my PRGs at first, similarly, you know, just off the charts brilliant and amazing in so many different ways, and could not figure out how to pay the rent. And that's what I was having trouble with. I was having trouble paying bills and rent and everything on time. And you know, they gave me a list of actions to take, and I grudgingly at first took them, because I thought, well, geez, you know, I've got all this work to do, and I have a job, and I have other things that I do, and why me? And you know, as I said, I wasn't really ready for the program at first, but soon I did receive the gift of desperation, and I'm glad. I started to do the things that they did, and I started keeping records of what I was told to do. I was reluctant to keep my numbers, and a lot of it was, I think, that I just was afraid of coming out of hiding. I was terrified of people, and was really good at avoiding relationships with people unless I absolutely had to be in relationship with someone, whether it was a work or a school or whatever. And getting that list of actions to take was what really saved my bacon, I think. And I say that because it made me keep showing up. It made me keep asking for help. And the idea of asking for help with the family background that I had was an anathema. Thank you. So I just kept coming back. And after a while, they said, you know, you've got to do something about this under earning. And I agreed. And not long after that, I manifested a job that paid me really handsomely. Unfortunately, it also took me out of the loop of going to meetings, because the job involved quite a bit of travel. And I was not in control of big chunks of my time. But I kept showing up in DA meetings when and where I could. Now, the gift was that I was able to start giving PRGs, and I found a real simple magic in that, because of all my experiences as an under-earner, as an inheritance survivor, and all the other things that are part of my experience. I was able to show up for people in a way that a lot of people, I believe, were not able to do so. And that informs my recovery today. I sponsor a guy, and I live in Austin, Texas now. I got my recovery, the beginnings of my recovery, in Los Angeles. I sponsor a guy here. I'm having him take his numbers down, and hopefully we're going to get him a PRG pretty soon. I have to say, I probably get at least as much out of giving a PRG as I used to get. And I sometimes surprise myself with the questions I ask and with the suggestions that I give. And I have no idea where this stuff comes from. And probably the most important part of my recovery isn't even related specifically to DA or numbers or, you know, any of that. And it's been developing a spiritual practice and being consistent with it. And what that helps me do is it helps me listen to what's going on in the PRG, what's going on with the person who's having the PRG, and it also helps me try to make myself a little more available to what's going on with them and what they need the most help with. And that, I think, is probably where the biggest part of the magic of Debtors Anonymous is. It's being of service, and it's trying to figure out what can I do. And it's not even really a mental process for me. It's just I get these impulses sometimes, and I act on them. And, you know, I don't believe that that's the best way for anybody to lead their lives, but a lot of these impulses are spiritually driven. And I try to keep my ear to the ground, so to say, so that I can continually improve my ability to be of service, whether it's sponsoring, whether it's PRGs. Austin is not exactly a hotbed of Debtors Anonymous. We have three or four really small meetings here in town because I've lost a good deal of my eyesight. I'm no longer able to drive, but I can get around. And luckily, the meeting that I go to is about a half a mile from where I live, and I can easily walk there. And what I get to do is occasionally I get to go to LA to visit friends. I find out if there's a workshop going on. I got to attend the Tools Game workshop this past June, and I'm going to bring that to our little group here in Austin. If there's anything else I can do to be of service, I try to figure out what that is. I try to discover what that is. And, you know, for somebody who has made a lifelong career of being really selfish and self-centered, that's just mind-blowing to me. And, you know, I pray that I get to do more cool stuff with more cool people in program, especially DA, because it feels like that's where the bulk of my recovery lies ahead. So I think I'm out of time. I mean, I'm out of gas. So I want to thank you all for having me. I want to thank Alexia for asking me to share, and I'll turn it back over to you guys.
Thank you, Nico. Thank you to all of our speakers today, Paul, Shauna, and Nico, and also to Pauline for timing. We still have time on this call for sharing and also questions and answers. I'm going to turn off the recording now. Bear with me.